continue down our study here that we've been on for some time on Sunday nights. Tonight I want to talk about and help you out, hopefully, with the Lord's help, helping me. I'd like to help you talk about our emotions a little bit. How many say you have some emotions that are out of whack sometimes? Amen. We all do. I've heard a lot of amens. I've never heard that many in a long time. I might ask that question more often. That's good. Listen, we all have problems with our emotions. And the problem is, it's because our emotions are just not in check sometimes, right? Our mind, our emotion, and our will, that's our soul. And really and truly, we ought to be heeding to the Holy Ghost of God. Therefore, our emotions get out of whack when we don't. They're messed up. We start thinking bad thoughts, and we start doing things and saying things that we shouldn't say. But you know what I'm thankful for? I'm glad that God has the Holy Ghost. But not only that, you know God uses individuals to help keep you in check sometimes. God uses people around you. He uses moms. He uses dads. He uses men. He uses women to help others. You know, that's part of being edified, right? And strengthened and encouraged to do right. You ever had someone encourage you to do right? You ever notice that you probably have a lot more people in your life, especially growing up, young people, you can listen up for a minute. You're going to have people all around you that encourage you to do wrong. You understand what I'm saying? They're going to encourage you to do wrong simply because they're doing wrong. Right? You don't go to somebody that's doing something wrong for advice how to do right. They're going to encourage you to do wrong because it makes them feel better about their sin. But you know what I'm thankful for tonight? I'm thankful for men and women in my life, preachers in my life, heroes that have sat me down despite myself, said things to me that sometimes hurt my feelings a little bit. But you know, getting your feelings hurt ain't always a bad thing. At the end of the day, I look back and I think to myself, I sure am glad some people weren't scared to hurt my feelings. In the moment, I didn't feel very good. I wasn't very happy. I wasn't very thankful. But looking back on it, I'm thinking to myself, if they wouldn't have chose to do right, to tell me to do right, to tell me the things that I needed to hear, not that I wanted to hear. See, folks, listen, we as Christians have got to get away from that idea. Quit telling people what they want to hear. Let me tell you what they want to hear. They want to hear that their sin don't matter. They want to hear that they don't want to come to a church where God's going to convict them. They don't want to be convicted because it makes them feel bad. Well, it ought to make you feel bad when you're convicted. But God, listen, when He does that, it's to better you and I. And I'm thankful tonight that we have a God who uses people and uses events and uses occasions in our life to help out with our emotions. The Bible says in Matthew 18, verse 34 and 35, when you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, "And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive," what's the next word? "Not everyone his brother their trespasses." Now, before we get into this, I want to help you out with something. I went to Bible college, and the sole reason I went to Bible college was for this: spiritual warfare counseling. I didn't go to Bible college to get a four-year degree. I don't have a four-year degree. I don't want a four-year degree. I have no desire to go there to do that. I mean, I don't think it would be a bad idea, but to be quite frank with you, I don't have the time for that. I didn't have the time for that. I was a young dad trying to survive and trying to raise kids. I was going to Bible college from 7 a.m. to about 2:30 and then working from 3:30 all the way to midnight and then going home and getting back up and doing it over and over again. And I did it for a couple of semesters, got the stuff I needed, the stuff I wanted, the stuff I knew that would help me. And you say, why would you do that? Why would you? I uprooted from Alaska in 2010, drove to Fort Dodge, Iowa, rented an apartment for a year, got the stuff that I wanted to get. You say, why would you do that? Well, because I saw the reality of unforgiveness. I saw it in my own life. I saw it in my wife's life. I saw it in some family members' lives. And I also saw the power of forgiveness. And I'm thinking to myself, the whole time I'm sitting here battling in my emotions all these years as a child. See, what happens is when something happens to us, we automatically want to point fingers at somebody, don't we? We want to start blaming somebody, right? Well, if God loved me, now, immediately, where's that thought coming from? Because God does love us. The biblical principle is, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his what? Life for his friends. So things happen, you know, you grow up, and maybe, like in my instance, I'll just give you a little brief background. I grew up, my parents divorced when I was really young. And look, I don't fault either one of them. I love my mom. I love my dad. I don't have a great relationship with my father, to be honest. I've spoken with him once in the past year and a half, and that was just this week because we had to break the news to him about the family. He wasn't at the funeral. And again, I'm not faulting him. He's got some areas in his life that he's dealing with, and I pray for him every day for him to be saved. My mom was a very young mother who went off to college after I was born. I was raised by my grandparents. And look, I'm thankful every day that I had grandparents in my life that loved me and raised me the way I was raised. But here's the deal. As I grew up, I'd go places and I'd be in people's homes and I'd think to myself, it must be nice to have your mom and dad. You know what I'm saying? Nobody really doesn't want to have them. As bad as it may seem, as much as I loved my grandma and my grandpa, and they're my heroes, and I love them, there's not a man I've ever loved more than my grandfather. And I'm just being honest with you. And next to my wife, there's probably not a woman in this world that I've ever loved more than my grandmother. Just being honest. But I started asking questions like, man, I sure would like to have the relationship with my dad that you do. And then you'd hear people, you know, growing up, occasionally you'd come across the people be like, well, they don't feel bad for you, you know, they're not going to give you a pity party, and others, they'll feel bad for you. And you start thinking, and Satan starts throwing these thoughts into your mind, right? Because he attacks what first? The mind. He always has to attack the mind, the soul, because that's where he can get into. He doesn't have ownership of your spirit as a saved man, correct? So he attacks the what? The mind, and he starts sending these thoughts. Well, if God really loved you, you know, if your mom and dad really loved you, you know what I'm talking about? Some of you sitting in here right now and you're relating to what I'm telling you. Some of you have this same story. Well, here's the reality. I began to get bitter and angry, and here's the sad part about it. I didn't even know I was bitter for a long time. I couldn't understand why I couldn't carry on a normal conversation with my mother. I'm just being honest with you here. I didn't understand. I thought maybe it was natural. You know, well, you haven't been around. I haven't been around you. You haven't been around me a long time. And but in reality, the older I got, the more spiteful I became in my mind towards her. And I didn't know anything was wrong. You want to know why I didn't know anything was wrong? Because no man ever showed me something was wrong. But man, when I got up and I met Pastor Kelly, you guys have heard him preach here, he started showing me some things and he said, son, you're going to have some serious marriage problems if you don't get this right. Because this isn't going to stop with your mom. This is going to go towards females in general. This neglect, this spite, this bitterness, this anger. I said, what do you mean? I don't really have a problem. He said, well, why is it that every time someone mentions her, you're triggered? I said, I've never really thought about that. And anyway, it boiled down to this. He explained to me the power of forgiveness. And I'll tell you what, it was hard. He said, you don't need to just say it, Drew. You need to let her know. And let your dad know that they're no longer on a leash. They're no longer, that you forgive them for the life that you think they gave you. The truth is, God knew exactly what was going to happen in my life before I was ever even born. God was not surprised. Amen? He wasn't surprised. And he said, you need to forgive them to experience true freedom. And I'm thinking, what kind of counseling is this? I came in here with a problem. You're supposed to feel bad for me. Listen, you know what he said? He said, no, you need to stop feeling sorry for yourself. Accept what you cannot change. I'll say that again. Accept what you cannot. You remember Brother Suter talked about the railroad track, the train? You know how you stay on that train? Accept what you cannot change. Accept what you cannot change. What's done is done. I couldn't undo what all that happened. Well, it boils down to this. I called him. I forgave him. And to this day, I'm no longer triggered by my mom or my dad. Now, there's times I look and I think in my mind, the devil still tries to, you know, like this week, I called my dad and I said, listen, your niece, the mother of John Caton, specifically, of all the words she said this week, she asked me, she said, has anyone talked to Uncle Andy? Is he coming? She wanted to see him. She was very close to him growing up. And I told him that. And I'll be honest with you, I probably set myself up for failure, Brother Tim, because in my mind, I knew what he was going to tell me. I knew, oh yeah, I'm coming. And he did say that. And then he didn't show up. And I'll be honest, I was sitting right there in that chair yesterday, and I was thinking to myself, well, I have 5 minutes till this funeral. And all I could think about was one thing. Anybody want to guess what that is? Where is he at? I'm thinking, surely he's not going to lie about something like this. And now who's working in my mind at this moment? See, I'm sitting here supposed to be preaching a funeral for an 18-month-old, and the devil's trying to get me to have a pity party over what? Me feeling sorry for myself. You see how the devil works? And I'll be honest, I got up. I was tongue-tied to begin the thing. And then my wife sang, and I'll tell you what, I prayed that God, in the name of Jesus, would bind the devil off that whole thing, and he did. But look, you say, what are you getting at? I'm telling you this. Just because you forgive someone does not mean the devil's not going to try to find every avenue to bring that back up. And in the worst case scenario of all things, that should prove to you how much the devil really cares about anybody. He tried to destroy that young man's funeral by making me feel sorry for myself. You see what I'm saying? So I wonder how many of you tonight, we're going to move on here in a second. I'm trying to set some groundwork here. I wonder how many of you tonight would just say, don't lift your hands up, but in your mind, between you and the Lord, I wonder how many of you would say, Brother Drew, I struggle with that. I struggle with those thoughts you're talking about. It might not be the same story that I just gave you. It could be much worse. It could be from a hurt, something someone's done to you, something that you haven't forgiven, maybe something you have forgiven, but the devil still constantly brings that up in your mind. Why? Because the devil's job is to steal, to kill, and to destroy you. And folks, he's good at it. He's very good at his job. He's never been fired from his job. Do you understand that? He's very good at it. He shows up on time. He shows up early. He shows up often. He works overtime. He's good at what he does. But I don't want to give him any credit tonight. I want to try to help you with your emotion. See, the brain works much like a miniature computer. Computers are hardwired, printed circuit boards. The brain is made up of chemical, electrical impulses. It would require a building 100 stories tall and the size of the state of Texas to house a computer that could do what one human brain does. You ever think about that? 100 stories tall and as big as the state of Texas for it to do what one human brain does. Now, who created the human brain? See, God created the brain that created the computer. Y'all all right? God created the brain that created the software and the hardware for the computer, right? Now, computers run our world today, right? But thanks to the what? The brain. The brain is voice activated. So we do not need keyboards or a mouse. Information comes through our brains through sound, sight, smell, touch, and taste. Our computer never forgets. It is so magnificently created that every word spoken is retained and every image and event is placed in memory. You ever think about that? You could think back right now, I guarantee you, some of you could think back 30, 40, 50 years and think of something right now that you saw 50 years ago and you can see it just as plain as day. Just as plain as day. You could think of pictures that you saw, or maybe mom and dad used to read you Bible stories or stories at night, or I can remember right now the thing that came to my mind. I'm walking through my grandparents' house right now and they had this picture of what they thought Jesus looked like, but I think I can prove biblically that wasn't it. But it was a picture of Jesus, and it was a light shining on his head. But that's what I thought about. I remember that picture. I remember the little bench that was sitting there. I remember the little cowboy boots that my grandpa gave me that I always wore on the wrong feet and got in trouble for. I remember that stuff. It's coming to my mind right now as I'm speaking. Some of you are remembering things, but listen, that's why. Because you have a brain. It's very, very powerful. But listen, the negative side of this is that our mind collects the damaging words that were spoken to us as a child. I wonder how many of you could say, don't raise your hands. Maybe you had a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or a brother or a sister say something to you that scarred you. Say something to you that no child should ever have to hear. Words that hurt. By the way, don't ever believe that words never hurt. That's a lie. Words do hurt. Y'all okay? They hurt. These memories may have been a dysfunctional marriage or negative words from an authority. Words and events begin to collect and build momentum. Sooner or later, the enemy has built a case in our mind that is built upon lies and will stir damaging emotions. So what's the effects of losing the battle in the mind? Again, Matthew 18, 34 and 35 says this, "And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." So, what's the quickest way to be out of touch with God? Choose unforgiveness. You ever think about this? How many are saved? Raise your hand. How many think you deserve salvation? None of us. But how many are thankful that Jesus thought different? I certainly am, and I think about this all the time. If Jesus or God or the Holy Ghost, three in one, right? If they thought about me like I think about the person that I choose not to forgive, where would we be today? The answer is lost. Amen? So if God was able in His sovereignty to send His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die, not just forgive us, but to die so that we could be forgiven for our sins and for all mankind's sin, why is it that we cannot make a conscious choice to forgive our trespassers? To forgive the ones who have hurt us? Folks, the answer to freedom is forgiveness. Tormentors, what are they? Tormentors are emotions that are released as a result of losing battles over strongholds, imaginations, and false knowledge that is exalted in our thoughts, which have never been taken into captivity. When we lose the battle in our mind because of the lies of the enemy, we will rapidly lose the battle in our emotions. The enemy never plays fair. I'll say it again. The enemy never plays fair. You say, what do you mean? How fair is it to play with my mind while I'm getting ready to preach a funeral? While I'm trying, and I'll tell you what the real problem was. He knew I was about to preach the gospel to a bunch of lost people. And he didn't want any of that. He knew it. And guess what? A lady that was sitting in the funeral yesterday got saved this morning. A young lady that was sitting in the funeral yesterday got saved this afternoon. Hey, we're already seeing fruit from this thing. There is some good that has came out of this. Hey, the devil knew, didn't want any of that. God knew that the gospel needed to be preached. And the devil knew the one thing that could distract me. He knew exactly what to do. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knew there could have been probably anything else he could have brought to my mind at that moment. And I probably just would have been like, whatever. But the one thing he knew that hurts the most, even though I've forgiven him, he tried hard yesterday to ruin that. Tried real hard. Folks, I would love to see each and every one of us get to a point where we can say, you know what? Whatsoever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. In the name of Jesus, I bind you, devil. I'm submitting to God. I'm resisting you. And you know how easy that was? God took care of the rest of it. All I had to do was by faith believe that God would bind him, and he did. And God has already shown us fruit. Isn't that amazing, the God we serve? We often question why. But the enemy never plays fair. Can I say this? He always picks on the weak and wounded. Hey, do you know how weak mentally I was this week? Emotionally? He didn't bring any of that stuff up until this happened. And again, I'm not telling you this to feel sorry for me. Hey, I'm praising the Lord that two people have been saved already in just the first week. I'm looking forward to many more. I'm looking forward to, Brother Brandon called me this afternoon and said, hey, man, I got some good news. He said, you know, John and Taylor really appreciated what you did yesterday, what the church did for them at the funeral, how they took care of them, how they gave, how just the outpour of love and support. And just a few days after losing their little baby, they said, when we heal, that's where we want to be. Amen. Do you know that's where they need to be? They need to be here to get some spiritual healing. Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. I hate that it took such a horrible accident, but God has a plan. God has a plan. He picks on the weak and the wounded. We've already read how a battle that is lost in the mind will affect the emotions. The enemy will take advantage of wounded emotions. If a person has been wounded in childhood or even later, depending on how deep the emotional scars are, their perception is that their world is not safe and no one can be trusted. You ever met somebody like that? That will not open up to anybody? I mean, you can pour your heart out to them. I have met some hard, hard young people before. I'm talking about real hard. I remember a certain family. I think there were two brothers and a sister. And I led the two brothers to the Lord, and I led the dad to the Lord. But this young lady, she was hard as could possibly be. Her mother was just awful as a mother. Left the babies at home when they were very young ages. These boys used to hop the fence into a restaurant parking lot and dig in the dumpster at night just so they could make sure their little sister had food to eat at night. And these boys were 8 and 9 years old, taking home their little 4-year-old sister food. She's starving, wondering where mommy's at. Dad's off at work, was in Iraq for some of this time. She was cheating on dad, on drugs, alcohol. And these boys overcame that. And to this day, the last time that we spoke with her, this was probably 6-7 years ago, the last thing I remember her saying about this was, I'll never forgive her. I don't want to forgive her. She does not deserve my forgiveness. And if God really loved me, that wouldn't have happened. See, the boys got saved. The daddy got saved. But that young lady, she'll carry those emotions into her marriage. Her children will see those emotions. And the devil will attack her till the day she dies with that, or until she chooses to what? Forgive. Forgiveness is key. Another perception that affects their emotions is that they are now flawed, defective, dirty, damaged, indifferent, worthless. They will begin to think that their situation is worse than anyone else's and their circumstances cannot be related to. Man, I've met a lot of people like that. And you know, really and truly, the reality is when they say, you have no idea how I feel, you're right. I don't know exactly how you feel. But I know how God feels about the situation. I know that He loves you. And that's hard in a time like that. Well, I mean, how do you... I was speechless on the day of. I had no idea what to say. Completely speechless. But can I say God took care of that? Through time, much prayer, much power. Amen. Much prayer, much power. And there was a lot of prayer bathing that this week. This perception is like a furnace filter. There's a filter in our computer mind that gathers all of our injustices, all of our wounds of childhood, marriages, etc., and holds them in what we will call our violation filter. Now, raise your hand if you have a violation filter. Everybody's got one. And you know what's stored there? Everything that you haven't forgiven. All them bad memories that you haven't forgiven. See, here's the problem with that violation filter. You know who's in charge of that filter? The devil is. And you think for a second he's not going to go through that filter and pull those out every now and then and say, hey, boom, remember this? Remember that? Remember this girl? Remember that guy? Remember this guy that did this to you? Remember this lady that did this? Hey, that violation filter is a tool of the devil. This violation filter gathers injustices, wounds, and rejection. I dare say if I were to ask you to close your eyes right now, I'm not going to, but rejection is probably something that everyone in here has dealt with at some time or another in your life. Whether it be from a parent, an aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, husband, wife, hey, children. Most of us have dealt with rejection. Everything that comes in that is negative, it will constantly build a case against God, others, and yourself. It will hold it all there and literally become what is perceived by the hurt person. What is perceived then becomes reality. You ever met someone who habitually lies? I'm talking about lies just a lie for no reason. And you're thinking to yourself, like, surely you know that that's not true. But everything they say, they believe. Why? Because they've built a case. They believe everything that comes out of their mouth. Folks, that's a real disease. A habitual liar. I'm talking about, hey, how tall are you? You can look at them and tell they're not over 5 foot tall. I'm 6'3". Really? Yeah. 6'3". Y'all okay? You ever, how big was that fish you caught yesterday? Oh, we were brim fishing. I caught a 15-pound brim. He was 15 pounds. I'm getting him mounted. You'll see. You ever heard these kind of stories before? And they never are reality. But in their mind, they believe this. And here's the real problem on the spiritual side. Well, what's wrong with you? Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. Oh, but that's not true. Oh, you can't convince me that God loves me. He doesn't love me. You don't know what I've been through. What about your mom? No. And then you'll start talking, and pretty soon you'll see them tense up. And see, they teach you this kind of stuff when you're counseling people. You look for triggers, right? Things that trigger people. And when you find that trigger, you don't pause right then and there. You never point it out right away. You confirm it, right? And then you kind of go back, and you start talking about that individual that you noticed triggered them. And pretty soon you'll start seeing tears roll down their eyes. And that's nothing but God softening their heart. Amen? That's greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Amen? That's God softening their heart. And then you'll say, well, why don't you take me back to why that person or that event or that place triggers you? Tell me about that place. What is it that's so bad about that place or that person? And see, here's the problem. We always deal, you know what worldly counsel deals with? Side effects. Y'all okay? Worldly counsel's never going to go deal with the root problem. You know why they're not going to deal with the root problem? Because you ain't coming back and give them no more of this. If they fix your real problem, they're not getting no more money. Y'all okay? They're going to charge you $200 an hour to sit there and feel bad for you and then give you some pills so you'll be back next week. Y'all with me? Hey, spiritual counseling, godly counsel, thy word is truth. Hey, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's the truth? The truth is there's a real problem. There's an underlying root problem that is producing all of these side effects. Amen? Like, for instance, when I get a headache, I get angry. I don't like to be around the light. I don't like to hear kids talking. I don't like to hear anybody talking. Those are all side effects. What's the real problem? That I have a what? A headache. Right? See, this world is full of people that don't understand how to deal with the root issue. And when I saw the root issue dealt with in my wife's life, Brother Travis, and when I saw the root issue dealt in my life, hey, I said, I need to know where'd you learn that stuff? Hey, man, he could only tell me so much. He said, son, you need to go study. go here. He recommended me to go, and that's where I went, and I learned this stuff. And I appreciate that the truth of God's word is real. Amen? It's real. At the point of emotional trauma, if the conflict in the mind and emotions is not dealt with, the person will experience what we call arrested development. You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, the word arrested means this: to take into custody, to take to prison, to lock up, hold, and restrict. Whereas development means this: having the qualities to increase more forward into maturity, the ability to become productive. You ever met someone that lives in their past? Maybe somebody that was hurt as a teenager, and they haven't forgiven, and maybe they still act like a teenager. You ever looked at someone and said, why don't you act your age? Someone that in reality you've said that to maybe over and over and over and over again, and pretty soon you're thinking, man, this is weird how they're acting. They shouldn't be acting like this. Well, then you start thinking and you're like, man, why are they acting like this? I don't want to confuse you here. Let's go on. For instance, I may be counseling someone that's 30 years old, but the maturity level in their emotions may be years behind. Emotionally and socially, they're about 16 years of age. Their maturity level became arrested, and they have never been able to grow because everything goes through the violation file. It reminds them of what has happened to them in the past. An example of arrested development was the huge quantities of Jewish German people that had to succumb to concentration camps during the Nazi regime of World War II. One such case was a German lady who was placed in a concentration camp where she was sexually violated during her stay. Years after her release, she ran a bus route that had over 100 people. She loved and cared for those people, but she suffered arrested development when it came to her ability to show affection to her husband. You hear what I'm saying? Now, why couldn't she do that? Because she had been violated at a very young age. You see what I'm saying? She was violated. So her development was arrested. Whenever a physical trauma took place, she would immediately shut down, and her fight or flight of ability would not work. Another example of arrested development is a person who was hurt in their late teens. Although they might be married and have children, they will act very immature for their age and seek attention as a teenager would. They will regress back to their childhood or teenage years. And you say, Pastor, this is crazy. No, it's not. It's very real. I've dealt with it many times. I still know a young man in Alaska right now that I talk to probably once or twice a week. He calls me. And it's very rare. He's probably 25, 26 years old now. And it's very rare that I speak with him where he doesn't revisit the year that he came to live in my house as a teenager. You know why? Because he hasn't forgiven his mom and dad. He's still feeling sorry for himself years later. And guess what? He got married. His marriage lasted about 2 weeks. He's got a little baby girl that he doesn't see. Are y'all listening? Now see, but it's never his fault. Do you understand what I'm saying? All the mistakes that he makes is always somebody else's fault. When in reality, I said, buddy, why haven't you forgiven them yet? You just don't understand, Brother Drew. I do understand. You're living in your past, son. And now you're a dad. And you're doing to your daughter what was done to you. Except worse. Y'all okay? See, that's what this produces. A chain reaction. And the devil loves it. Because he knows, oh man, if I can just get him to convince him to be with that lady, and you know, and if God will grant them the gift of life in her womb, and then they have a baby, and I can bust that marriage up, and then I can make this little girl bitter at her dad and mom, and then she'll grow up and have kids, and they'll be. It's a chain reaction, people. It is a chain reaction, folks. Over and over and over again. Why? Because he won't choose what? Forgiveness. We look at these situations and think to ourselves, why don't they just grow up? In our flesh, we will use terms that we think should work to change these people. I know that there are times when a person acts immaturely and selfishly, and they may need to hear, just grow up. You ever want to say that to somebody? Look, you ever met somebody like this? No matter if they're right or wrong, if they don't get their way, nobody's happy. You ever met someone like that? We all know people like that. I mean, we work with them. We see them at the ball games. We see them at church. We see them everywhere we go. If they're not happy, no one's happy. Why do you think that might be, though? I think to myself when I meet people like this, and I'm like, what happened to you in your life that triggers you when someone tells you you're not right? Why do you always have to be right? You want me to tell you probably what they deal with? Insecurity. Rejection. Y'all okay? Typically, you'll see a lot of things. I'm not going to get into all that. But you can figure this stuff out. The Lord will give you some knowledge on that. But they might need someone to find out why they cannot grow up. Why their ability to mature and grow has been arrested. Someone must help that person get set free from their past conflict and violations. This is one reason why we have 60 and 65-year-old men riding motorcycles with their hair in ponytails down their back, wearing light leather pants, vest and earrings. Hey, what's wrong with that picture? That's not the picture of a godly man, is it? I mean, is it? I don't think so. Now, am I judging them? No. But what are they doing? It's like, I remember a guy, Mr. David McInville. He used to be an old biker boy. And back in the day, I mean, this dude, he got saved out of a biker gang, became a deacon in the church that I grew up in. And he sat me down one day, and I was asking him about his tattoos because I was like, man, these are kind of cool. He said, son, they were cool till they got flabby. And he said, you think mine are bad? You ought to see my wife's. That's what he said. Hey, he said, people don't ever think about how terrible these things are looking when the skin's going like this right here. He said, they look good when they were bad on that bicycle, but now they just flap around. You see what I'm saying? People don't ever think about that. But then you have these guys who constantly strive to be 15, 16 years old mentally. Folks, why don't we just strive for what God wants? They act and look like someone they crawled out of a hippie movement of the 1960s. Many of them went through Vietnam when they were 18 to 20 years old and were traumatized by what they experienced and did there. They have arrested development. They cannot seem to get past that time in their life because they are locked in to the emotions of that age. Hey, I'll tell you what. My wife's grandfather, you'll get to meet him at our missions conference, Lord willing. Pastor Roach, he'll be here, and I'm sure you'll hear some stories about Vietnam and some of the things that he's told me and that he has seen and had to deal with. Brother Travis, I'll be honest with you, I'm glad I don't have to go to sleep every night with that. But he tells me it's a battle every single day in his mind. Because he says, I go to bed and all I can see are the faces of the children every night. It's a constant battle. And for years, he said, how do you forgive yourself? How do you forgive yourself of something like that? You know what I'm thankful for? That God saved him and brought him out of a mercenary. Because he was a mercenary. His sole job, when he got out, he wanted to be a mercenary. But he's got a track now called Mercenary to Missionary. I'm so thankful God saved him and made him a missionary. And now he's able to help other Vietnam vets and other vets around our country that struggle with the same PTSD that he struggles with. But can I say, God is big enough to help take care of that stuff. I'm not saying those images will ever go away, because that'd be a lie. But we have a God that's able to help us with that and help us cope with what we cannot help. I've counseled with college or high school students that are behind in their social skills or their emotional and maturity level. They do not have a vision or know how to communicate above the level of a child. You ever met teenagers like that? You wonder, what in the world's wrong with this kid? Our first thought is, why do you act like that? You know, you're 16 years old, bud. It's time to stop playing with Tonka toys. You know, I remember, this is a funny story. Lord, I hope people aren't watching online tonight, but I remember a young man who was stoked about turning 16 in our youth group. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, 16 years old, and I'm like, cool. He was going around talking and having a good time, and he's like, yeah, we're having a Nerf war for my 16th birthday. I'm thinking like, a what? A Nerf war? Now, I'm not against Nerf wars, but there's a whole lot more that 16-year-old boys could be thinking about other than Nerf wars. Y'all okay with me? I'm just saying, why is it that 16, 17, 18-year-old boys, that's their excitement level, but why is that? Why is it that he's still in the mind of a 7 and 8-year-old boy? I mean, my 8-year-old don't even touch a Nerf gun. I'm just saying, all he likes is ball. He's never touched Nerf guns. But I'm just saying, I'm not making fun of him. I'm asking a simple question. Why is it that the mind is captivated by that? There's some arrested development there. Something's off. No one helped them deal with their broken emotions, and these emotions are still being filtered through their violation system or through their feelings of rejection. Folks, if you've ever been rejected by somebody, you know what I'm talking about tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. Miss Crystal, can you come to the piano? We're going to unplug right here. Somebody, they're going to kill that live stream. Thank you, Brother Dave. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. Are you singing? Okay.